This is tape number 1064, class 29. This is the second year Greek class of the Baptist Bible Seminary and Baptist Bible Institute, sponsored by the Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is the second semester, the spring semester. It's the 14th class meeting. The date is May the 12th, 1983. We're translating from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 5 through 21 through verse 3. And the Dane Edemati grammar that we're just studying will be pages 285 to 293, paragraphs 269 to 279. The teacher and president of the Baptist Bible Seminary is Dr. D.A. Waite. This is your speaker. The director, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey.
Our Greek class tonight,
they call that a
Sunday. Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to study this thy word in Greek. We thank you for the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. Thou hast preserved this thy word through these many centuries. We pray for wisdom as we understand it, as we translate, be with each of the students, and help me also, Lord, and be with our families. May we glorify Christ who liveth and abideth forever, as thy word does, and is seated at thy right hand. Bless us as we seek to serve thee. Prepare us as we hear the end of this class. Give us wisdom on any future classes as well, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll start with verse 5, and let's see. Bruce, if you'd like to start verse 5, that would be fine. That's a short one. We'll give Bill a little longer one.
John 20, and verse 5. Kai parakipsa mate himera ta alphania umentore ikelpe. John 20.
All right.
And sitting down, he sees the linen cloth, the baptism of Fonia.
Yes, mm-hmm.
How did you get me to read that?
Yes, I just see what it meant.
Why ta kupsa lete kaimena ta...
Kaimena, yeah, kaimena.
Kaimena ta of Fonia, who mentors his children.
All right.
Sitting down, he sees the linen cloth lying. He did not go in, is that what I said?
Mm-hmm. However, she bought men twice, two particles coming together.
He did not go in.
Now he's not going. Okay, that's verse 5. The parakuptos is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, yes, the parakuptos, because of the C, you see, the sigma, the aorist, and then kemena would be what?
Present
from Kemai, right. And they fail then to be, of course, the heirs to Aesir from us. All right, so he didn't see these, he didn't go in. This was, of course, I guess, John, his letter arrived first, didn't go in. All right, Bill, would you read the next in passage?
In verse 6, Eschatai un simon petros, akolithron auto, kai eitelten, eitra mremeo, kai teore,
ta
Aponia, Kemena,
John.
Uh-huh.
Eschatai un simon petras akaluthon auto kai eis elfen eis ta meneon.
Meneon.
Meneon. Kai zelre ta a Fania Kaimena.
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 Mm-hmm. All right, so.
Therefore, I am Peter.
Excuse me, Bill, go right ahead. I guess my wife is occupied up here that way.
Then Simon Peter comes, the one following him. Mm-hmm. And came into the tomb and sees the linen clothes or clothes.
Sees them what? Came in a. Lying.
A lion.
From Came in, she's left. That's where it stops, right? I think that's where it stops. All right, Felizone is president active of Acolateo. Feore is the president of Feore. And I think that Cayman is what we have before present, middle of Cayman, present participle. Jesus clothed mine. All right, so this is evidence of the bodily resurrection. All right, Ruth, could you take number 7, please?
20, verse 7. Kai par sudarion, hop eni, epite cavale, autu, u meta ton autonion, kemenon, ala, choris, and catulic menon, e cena, papon.
I'm going to which was on his head, not lying with the green cloth, but apart, having been folded into one place. Negate the shroud?
Shroud of Turin, yes, I would think so. Folded in one place, you
know. Because I have the picture of the face right on the wall.
Right. This was the napkin only over his face, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, so many things negate that. It's a terrible, disgraceful thing. But a lot of people like to read about it and speculate. You know, it's a Roman Catholic treasury. Alphone is, of course, by the heirs of Arkham. Hey, then, I'm on the wrong verse. We're on 8 or 7?
7.
Yeah. Seven. All right, Ain is what we're.
Is the imperfect?
Imperfect, right, of Amy. And Caymanon?
Caymanon
is participle. Present participle, Caymanon. And then antetulic menu. So.
That's perfect tense.
Yeah, perfect passive participle. Antuliso, antuliso. So it's having been folded, having been folded in one place, or in one place. All right, go take verse, is it 8 then?
John 20, verse 8. Tota un ezelfe, kai ha alas mathetes, ha elthon protos estomnemeon, kai ede, kai epistosen, John.
Then he went also and.
Or went into.
Went into.
Therefore, Or then you said that, all right. Tata, all right, just then is tata, and then, therefore is the see. So there's then, therefore, then.
Then, therefore. He went in, or entered in, and the other disciple. The one coming first into
having come first
into the tomb and saw and believed.
Yep. Peter was second to arrive, John being younger, evidently, and yet Peter went in first. Alright, that was 8, Elphone, aorist participle of Erchamai, Aden is the aorist of Harao, and Epistosen, the aorist of Pisteo. So he believed, what did he believe? Obviously, the bodily resurrection of Christ. I'm reading two books now by Westcott. He's written one on the appearances of the risen Lord, it's called, and the other is the Gospel of the Resurrection. And in those two books, which Bob Jones University thinks prove conclusively that he believed in the bodily resurrection of Christ, they don't prove anything of the sort. He's a very cautious, very careful writer, and he doesn't come right out and deny anything, but he reinterprets and so on, so that the time you finish, you don't have the bodily resurrection of Christ. But he's phrased in such a way as it's very difficult to discern his meaning, see. But he's very clear, you know, as he comes along.
What does he mean?
Well, he means that the Christ is spiritualized, it's a different mode, a different type style. All he did was make an appearance because he needed to make a sort of a physical appearance, because that's the only thing that these people in time and sense could see. But he really, that really is the essence of his body.
Uh-huh.
he just materializes here and then calls it a transfiguration, see, rather than a resurrection, a transfiguration. Now, he says it, we wouldn't want to say it's the same as the resurrection or the raising for the dead of Lazarus, you see, and then have you die again. Well, we don't say that, see. But you see, or is not a phantom, see, but he has a cross between those. It's a person. And then he, excuse me, in the, I haven't finished the second book I'm reading it now, Dr. Rasmussen wants an analysis after I finish. He wants it as soon as possible, but I just have to wait till the weekend because I'm pretty tied up. But the second book, he seems to say he shows himself by love, he shows himself by service, shows himself by certain words, you know. In other words, when anybody, and he only shows himself to believers, it's impossible to show himself to anybody who doesn't really believe. In other words, it's sort of a vision that these people have because they want to have it, and they remember him in the flesh, and so, oh, that's him, and they don't, which is absolutely ridiculous. If that's true, then unbelievers can never see this resurrected, he could have called him a risen Christ, to see. Well, the Christ principle, the Jesus principle, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and at the right hand of the Father, it's the man Christ Jesus. It's not Christ, and it's not Jesus, it's Jesus Christ. And they seem to divide his person. But what about Revelation 19:11, when he shall come, and he shall judge the nations, and on the white horse, you see, and the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Unbelievers, you will fear, well, has he changed? No, it's the same. Well, he may say then, well, that's just manifesting himself so people can see it. Oh, there's something very, very wrong about it. But he's crafty, he's clever, and he tries to keep everything together, and he says the material elements of that were in the tomb somehow were all left and absorbed some of it. It's not just not right. See, and that's the thing that's so deceitful. And that's the thing that I think that we're battling here. It's esoteric type talk. It's Gnostic theology, and it's Christian Science. Well, you know, they talk about things, use the same words, but they redefine them. And it's like eating cotton candy. Very hard to bite into anything substantial. See, but I'm getting there. I'm getting a few things. You know, I'm piecing together, and you can really read it. Dr. Rasmussen puts it what do you call this thing? A prism, see. Because the way he says a statement, the Lord's body comes in here, goes to the prism of death, and comes out three different ways, looking different completely all together. Well, it's true that the body that the Lord had was flesh and bones, not flesh and blood. There's a change, but still a body. See, he doesn't want to say it's a body. He wants to say body, but body doesn't mean body. You know, it's not soma. It's not soma, which is what we consider to be body. He had a body. It had elements. It could be touched and felt. But see, he doesn't believe that. They just thought they saw. It's something along that line. I haven't got to the end of that second book, but it just sort of makes me mad. But the thing about it is, when fundamental Bible-believing Christians can't agree on language, you know, and they think he's this and they think he's that, just because he uses words that are not really what he means, that's the most difficult type of thing to answer is a man that uses terms and switches them and redefines them is insidious. Oh, it's a terrible thing. It's disgraceful.
Have you heard this, the book by Westcott and Ward called The Thinking Theories and Theologies of Westcott and Ward?
Who has that?
Well, supposedly it was put out by his son of Ward. And I heard a tape by Dr. Ford just the other day.
Thinking Theories and...
And he mentioned
that. Someone wrote that. Let me see.
Supposedly by his son. It was compiled by his son.
Well, he had a Theory of Life and Letters by his son. Two volumes, that's true. But this one is the one written by a man in Canada. I can't think of his name right offhand, but Canada. He wrote that, I think. Thinking, you know, about theology of Western.
Supposedly he goes into.
He's written one on Horton, which I have here, and also on Westcott. He does a good job of that.
He says that I think he says that they were especially Ford was like believed in Mariology.
Yeah, Mariology, the whole thing. That's right, it sure is. But see, these two books were here made to answer this resurrection thing. So on the back of these books that I got from Princeton Library last Saturday, the back of them, he's got about 25 books that he's written. Westcott, Bishop Westcott. So he's but see, he thinks that the fact is one thing, the resurrection, but then the interpretation of that fact is a different thing. What do we interpret for today? What is the meaning of it today? And so he wants to reinterpret and re-understand not just the fact. And he gives himself away in the last couple of pages of the first book I read, the Gospel of the Resurrection, says now, church history, ecclesiastical history, like the Bible, cannot be interpreted literally. So there he got this. So he's so clever. And he talks about the risen Lord and the risen Christ we see, but the Christ principle Mary Baker Eddy talks about too, but that's not Jesus Christ. Christ was one person, the divine image, and Jesus was the man, and you know, they're not the hypostatic union, they weren't the God-man, they had one person and two natures. Well, so this is the bodily resurrection of the Lord, and I don't know, he's just writing 200 pages in each book to say nothing as far, except to deny very artfully and gracefully what all is here, and the real meaning that people get out of. That's verse 9, was it, Bill? Is it
yes,
Ruth?
Not
is,
eight,
Ruth? Is it Ruth 9?
Yes.
Huh?
20, verse 9. Who depo gar edesan ten graphen, hoti de auton ek necron, anastena, John.
For they had not yet known the scripture, writing, scripture, that it is necessary for him to rise from the dead.
Among the dead ones. The that was 9. Eidason is what
perfect.
Well, in this case, it'd be proof perfect. See, with the Eidason, the epsilon, the iota, Eidason, that would be the proof perfect avoided. Yeah, they had not known, or of course, Eidason already is a perfect, it's like a present, so the proof perfect would almost be like a perfect. They have not known, or had not known. Day, of course, present, impersonal day, and anasthenai is what it is.
Aeris
infinitive on this day, okay? So they didn't know he was going to rise from the dead, but that rise from the dead is a bodily resurrection. That's a bodily resurrection which, sure, his body could go into heaven itself without experiencing death or any other pain or anything, going through the heat and the light and the cold and all, wherever. Sure, he could go between the elements indoors and appear. See, sure, he could eat and draw. And that's what he said. He said it's essentially the same, yet different. Different, yet the same. He goes in there and he tries to excuse the fact that he could eat because that's how he showed himself. It's almost like a science fiction that he tries to make out of Christ. He's putting himself into the people where they can understand where he's coming from, but it's a sad thing. I just hope I can finish it and get an analysis that makes sense so that it can be understandable. So you got to pin the thing down. Very few people are capable of handling, I think, that type of discernment that can really pick apart and see the man and for what he is. And the ordinary casual lay person or even theologian, or even preacher or pastor, they read it, oh, isn't that nice? And, oh, just look, these fellows in Bob Jones latch onto this and they say, oh, it's a great proof for he believes just like we do.
Well, I wonder if they really read it carefully.
I wonder, they must not have read it carefully. I'm going to have to put you to read it. I got two of them here. I've got to make copies of them. You want to look them over? I'll take them home tonight if you have any. I don't know whether you got any time to spare, but the two books, in either one of them, I'm plotting. I read that. I made copies first because I like to mark them up. And then I can sort of add them up and subtract and page here, page there, and go back. But. I read the first one twice. You know, not, I didn't read every word, but I mean, I read it to see what it was talking about. I didn't read every word. I'd be here too long, but I did it twice. I read it, I put notes down, and then I marked it, and then and my own copy, and then I read it again and marked some more. I got more out of the second time. The first time, it's a little deep stuff to try to figure out what a man's thinking. If you ever gotten into philosophy, that's what it is. It's just heavy on philosophy, a false philosophy. Pardon that, but this all on the bodily resurrection here, and they didn't know that he should rise from the dead, and they were not thinking of some spirit being, see. They say, he says in the body, right now, it's the spirit manifests itself through the body, in our present state now. After the resurrection, Christ said, it's the body showing itself through the spirit. So, if it shows itself through the spirit, like right now, with the spirit showing itself through our body, basically, when you see me and I see you, we're looking at a body, right? But if it's the reverse on his resurrection, or he really is a body, but he's manifesting himself through the spirit. And all you see really is the spirit. You know, the body is sort of down, you see the spirit. So it's sort of like a spiritualized body rather than the body. See, he inverts the thing in order. But that's not what it is. It's the same body which was crucified, yet it was truly, it's different because it's no blood, and it's a different type of body. It can eat or it doesn't have to eat, and it can rise, you know, without gravity, without any problem that way. And so it's different, but yet it's basically it's a tangible, substantial thing that can be touched and felt and so on. But he doesn't get into that. So, Ruth, you want to take those home tonight or whatever? Be interesting to put you to work on. All right, next verse. I'll just say next verse since I don't know how we have Ruth. Sure, Phil.
20, verse 10. Apelphon un palin, pros helotus, hoi mate tai. John?
All right.
10, the disciples went out, is it, or?
Yeah, left, went out, and up the open.
Again, towards themselves.
Yeah, their own selves, or their own home, the way we've got it in the King James, I think, is their own home. Understood, to their own, whatever, see, to their
home.
Home is in italics, I guess, isn't it?
No.
I don't know, well, to their own home, the things that they, where they lived, I guess it's where they were, it's their own thing. The war was their own thing, it was their place where they lived.
And so. John took Jesus' mother into
his own. Idea, isn't it? That's right. He came in his own thing. A little different, but it's a similar idea. And idea understood their own thing. All right, that's verse, what was it?
10.
I failed from the first year. All right, Ruth, the next one, please.
20, verse 11. Maria de Kisteke prosta menemeon clausa. Exo, hos un ecclaia paracupsen esto mnemeon. John?
Mary stood outside by the tomb crying.
Can you say, exo, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Then as she was crying, she stooped into the tomb.
Mm-hmm. Or by the tomb, maybe ace for the accusative possibly. All right, the ace take was a haste take rather, to be wrong. Haste take.
I guess that's present, isn't it?
No, that would be the pluperfect. Yeah, histamine. It's a very irregular one. The epsilon iota at the beginning, haste into the hist would be a change, and then kappa, of course, would be like the perfect, but then this is pluperfect. So she had stood, and Cleusa would be what her Cleo, a participle, what tense does it? Cleo, just regular present feminine, see? Cleusa, since it's a woman crying, it would be the feminine. And then Eclian, imperfect, that's right, of Cleo. She was weeping, Eclian. And Parecupsen is from Paracupto. Perished, right? Perished from that. So she was weeping. She was sad. She loved the Lord. And she didn't know where he was. All right, Bill, make the next one.
Doesn't say Maria Magdalena?
No, not in this particular gospel. That might be another one, but not here. It may be defined as that, but this is... verse 1 says Mary Magdalene came early. And maybe this refers to it, see? But that it says Maria here, but it does in verse 1 doesn't say Mary Magdalene. All right.
I'm 20.
Bill.
Verse 12. Kai theore dio angelus en leokois kathedra menus henna proste kephale kai henna prostois posen hapu eketa tosoma tu Jesu.
All right.
And sees two angels in what's the leokois?
Leukocytes, white. Leukocytes, white corpuscles. Mm-hmm. Leukocytes.
And white.
Cathedral,
sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting.
Cathedral, the seat of a bishop. Bishop sitting down.
Leukocytes is not shiny.
No, katizo would be to sit down, see. Katizo. Kata and hedron. The hedron is a chair, and kata is sit, I think, in a chair. Hedron, I think, is chair. Something like that, sitting. Go ahead, Bill.
One towards or one near the head. And the other towards the feet. Where the body of Jesus
So this is the imperfect was lying, I guess you'd say, or had lain, looking back on it, would be where he had lain, had been lying.
Okay.
All right, so that's 12. Was it 12? Theode is present of theodeo, kathezimenos, menus is present middle of kathezimai, and eketa, imperfect of kemai. All right? So there they were, one at the head and one at the foot, feet, where he had been, where he was lying, but he isn't there now. All right, Ruth, next one, please.
John 20 and verse 13. Kai legosin aute ekenoi gynai ti plais legiotois hati eran ton kurion mu kai uk oida pu ethikon auton.
All right.
And they say to her, woman, why are you
crying?
She says to them, because they took away my Lord, and I do not know where they placed him.
All right, that's 13, Legos in present of Lego. Place is what there is.
That's present.
Present of file, and Lego, present of Lego, and Iran is what there is. Heirs of Iodor, and an ethicon as well.
Ethicon.
It looks like perfect with a capital, but his and heirs, because tithemi, that's an irregular verb. So tithemi, so it would be heirs. They took, they placed him, they put him. All right, and as she thinks back where they have laid him or put him or placed him, as you look back into it. So, either way. All right, they... She was looking for the body, and the body, you see, to say that the body wasn't there, almost you think, well, he must believe in the bodily resurrection if the body wasn't there. See, he's not saying he disbelieves these narratives. See, that's the cleverness about it. But it's gone, but then how do you explain what is there and what he's got, see, and how that appearance, he calls them manifestation, unto people, see, that's what he calls them. Use that over and over again, and how it's somehow it's different. And he doesn't have him up in him. He says that the meaning of the resurrection basically is the reunification of all mankind to God. Some strange, weird philosophy.
There is no substance except
universal
between himself and the one to whom he appears, but someone else standing on the hillside looking over would not see.
Oh, I haven't got into that detail on these different things, but that's almost what he's saying, because he said the unbeliever can't see him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he can't see him, then he must not be there, really. Must be a vision. In fact, he uses the word vision.
Mm-hmm.
One time, he contrasts the vision, the different visions of Christ, the manifested visions, and then he contrasts that with the vision that Paul had, you know, or some other visions that somebody else had, and they're a vision of a different sort. She still calls it a vision. Well, if it's a vision, then it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's not real like we're talking. I grant you, it's not flesh and blood like we have. Obviously, the scripture says, handle me, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye may have. All right. But he's getting away, just because it's not exactly like the body we have here. He's denying the whole fact that it's a body at all. See, I mean, in the sense that we normally think of it. Now, to me, anyone who can walk along with the disciples on the road to Emmaus and can show Thomas his hands and his side and say, reach out of thy finger, thrust it into my fingers, and be not faithful to believe, is a real, tangible, corporeal, individual person. Even though he can slip through the doors being closed, see, that doesn't bother me at all, because what is a reality, but electrons, neutrons, and protons all gathering around, all you have to do is to mesh them in, We can't do it, but the Lord can. And our new bodies, it will have. But to take all that and say that it really isn't a material, physical, literal body, see, that is where he's really off.
Is he trying to distinguish between the natural body and the spiritual body?
Yes. That's right, see, and that whole word, spiritual body, see, pneumatical.
Doesn't mean that he has a celestial body.
Yeah, see, that body, that's confusing. People say the spiritual body, but they understand it to be that's only a spirit. It's not a real body, but it's a spiritual body. But the other is a psychikos body, which is a soulless body, a body dominated by the soul. But that body is body dominated by the spirit. That's all it means, soulless body or spiritual body. It means not as a spiritual in the sense of it's not real, but that it's dominated by the spirit, the higher of the two, and that word in the flesh dominated by the soul, psychikos body. That's what he sees. There's the all modernism tries to say, well, it's a spirit, he rose spiritually, see.
Yes.
And there is an element of what is called the spiritual body in 1 Corinthians 15, but that's not the meaning that it's not a physical, real situation, see. Because he is going to reign out of this earth for 1,000 years as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and this fellow, Bishop Westcott, I feel, is in hell today, the way some of his other theology and his denials of the blood atonement and various other things, but he's not going to be there, but we're going to be there, and the world is going to be there, and they're not going to be looking at a phantom on the throne of David. They're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ in a physical, corporeal state. He'll have a new glorified body, and obviously so will the saints, so will you and I, as we're gathered there to reign with him 1,000 years, but he says it's impossible. A divine impossibility for unsaved people to have seen it. Which proves what? That it isn't a real physical body.
And what does he
right?
Take that on?
He just pulls it right out of his hat and he just dogmatically states it. Mm-hmm. Just right out of a clear blue sky, and he restates it one paragraph later. Now that's the point I stopped at today in my reading at school. I'm slugging through it and slugging through it. I'm bound and determined to get the best of the thing. It's like a computer.
Holding your nose, aren't you?
Huh?
Holding your nose?
Yeah. I'm bound and determined. It's not going to get the better of it, but it's tough sledding. But it's very important because on the basis of this, Dr. Custer and Bob Jones III will either think Dr. Rasmussen, I suppose you're truly true, are either nitwits or they're really, maybe they're right. I don't think we're going to convince them. I'm convinced against the will of the same thing still. He just won't. They're just a veil, seemingly. But we're going to do our best. I'm going to do my best to try to explain it. I'm glad I got the computer so I can put it on the computer and type it, and I can rearrange it whatever I'm going to analyze. Yes, Mr. Arson?
It's clear enough where it's in one place. They who spared him shall see him.
Yes. They who crucified him shall see him.
They
shall look upon him whom they have pierced. That's it.
Yes,
in Zechariah.
They have pierced.
They look and are repeated in Revelation.
Yes.
So there it is.
How
is denial of Scripture? So this is bodily resurrection. All right, next speaker, next translator, next verse. But this is all on this bodily resurrection we're talking about, and so that's why I happen to be reading on this counterfeiter.
Yeah.
And so I'm taking too much time.
My question is short. I believe that it's a celestial body, what he got after when he
was resurrected.
Resurrected.
Yes.
Exactly like we would get.
That's right. Call it what you will, but it's still a body.
It's a body.
It's celestial, and it's dominated by the spirit. It's different than, it doesn't have sin, it doesn't have blood, it doesn't need water. It can eat or doesn't have to eat. The fruits in Revelation will be for the healing of the nations. See, the trees, 12 each month, they will have fruit. So we can eat or we don't have to. It's a question of...
Yeah, but he ate.
That's right. So, in other words, I don't think that he ate in order to prove that body needed to eat in order to sustain itself, but he ate showing that he could eat if he wanted to eat, or he didn't have to eat. See? And so it is a body that's different, yet it's a body. See,
it's a body.
And that's what he's trying to deny. All right, go right ahead, next person.
John 20, 14. Cae tata epusa, estrafe esta opiso, cae theore ton Iesun, estrota, cae uc ede hoti ho Iesus esti. John.
All right.
And that was what, 14? 14, yeah.
All right.
Let's see. And these... What's a pusa? A pusa.
Apon, Apusa, having said, is that right? These things, having said these things, yeah.
Having said these things.
From Apon, see, Apon, Apusa, that's the feminine, see, feminine.
Okay. These things. What's a strophe?
A turn, from strephe, a turn. So,
these things.
She turned.
Into
or toward the backward, toward the behind, toward okay. She turned herself around.
And saw Jesus standing?
Yes, Hespeta from his name.
And did not know that it was Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And that's the indirect discourse, they didn't know that it is Jesus, but you know, that's it was Jesus, we would translate. She didn't know it, she didn't see it, she didn't recognize it, but you see, she wasn't expecting someone. Would you be expecting someone that you're looking at in the body and then looking? See, so he uses that to see, well, you see, he was so changed, he wasn't really the same, therefore she couldn't recognize him, but you see, that's not the point. This port to Epusa is the aorist participle of lego, and estrafe is the aorist passive of strepho. So she was turned around or something like that, having turned her, she was turned around. Hestota, perfect participle of histemi, so having stood, and ade is a pluperfect of oida, and estin, of course, is the present of ame. Okay, ready for 15? Yes, Mr.
I didn't understand what I read, that she was sitting down. And as she was sitting down, she could not see the face, what? She saw only the feet, and saw the body.
You mean as she looked into the tomb, she saw an angel with the feet?
No, and after she was in the tomb, she came out when she saw Jesus. He said, was walking, she had steps, and she was looking over there, and she stood down, and suppose like I stare, I listen, my looking, I don't see the face there.
Yes, that's exactly right. So she saw his feet, therefore she saw him standing, and just the bottom part rather than the upper. That's right, that would be understandable, sure.
Yeah.
All right, Bill, is it Bill? No, Ruth. Oh, it is thee.
Mm-hmm.
No, it is thou.
Jesus says to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Whom do you seek?" She, thinking that he is the gardener, says to him, "Lord, if you have taken him, is that
carried him, borne him, have you borne him, carried him?
Tell me where you have placed him, and I will carry him.
Take him away. All right, that's 15.
That's
faithfulness, all right. Klaes, of course, present of Klaio. Zetes, present of Zeteo. Dokusa is what we're... Dokusa.
That's taking a
present part. First participle, right, feminine, isn't it? Because she's a woman, of Dokao. And Ebastasas is what we're... From Bastadzo.
Ebastasas,
that's the heiress. Heiress of Bastadzo. Eta is heiress of Lego. Ethikas.
Okay, is that perfect because of the kappa?
It would be if it were not different. But being an irregular, that happens to be the aorist. But normally, the kappa would be the perfect type. But tithemi is so irregular that this defies detection. Mm. This would be aorist. And then aro is a beautiful one.
That's
a future from aero. It's called a liquid future with a ro. Ro is liquid, like a lambda, a m is nasal. O and R are liquids, and the liquid the futures are built upon the error stem R, A-R instead of I-R-O, and they're just simply long O. That's it. Future. I will take them away. All right, Bill, 16.
John 20, 16. Lege alte hoiesus Maria. Strafesa ekene lege alto rabuni ha legetai didaskale.
All right.
Jesus said to her, Maria, turn herself, or?
Yes, having turned, probably.
She having turned
herself.
Said to him, Rabbi, which is saying teacher.
Mm-hmm, which is saying, which means that she's interpreted teacher, all right? That's 16. And strafesa is the aorist passive participle of strepho. So if she is, it's feminine, because it's referring to Mary, then it's feminine. And she, having been turned almost, the passive idea of it, having been turned around, she, turning herself would be reflexive, having turned around, having been turned, really, she said. Rather, so she knew him by his addressing her of Maria. Knew him. He knew her. We get confused.
By his voice.
By his voice, and of course, he makes a lot of this. As his Westcott does in his book, the appearances of the risen Lord, or whatever the title is, and it says it's the voice and by the voice. You know, that's up for same accent and so on. But not by the sight, not by the touch, not by anything. But he see later he says, touch me not. So you see, how could you touch something that wasn't there? And how could he literally make a bona fide offer to Thomas to reach over your fingers and touch if he wasn't there to touch and if he couldn't touch?
Yeah.
And he seems to say he appeared in that because it's the only way they could see him. And he had to appear that way. And he says if he appeared in the way that he really is, the disciples couldn't see him. Because he wouldn't be seeable. Because he's not corporeal. That's what he's implying, see. And he says it in one spot. See, if he appeared in the way he really is, the way his body is constructed, they couldn't see him. So he had to change it so that they accommodating himself to their senses.
Was that a Christophany?
Yes. Oh, it's a strange thing. But he's got a few words here and there. If you just take it out of context, and he seems to be saying he believed that the body was raised, therefore it's, you could say a bodily resurrection. But what kind of body? What do you mean by body? You have to ask him every question. What do you mean by this and this and this and this? He's quite a philosopher. He spins quite a yarn. All right, right ahead. Next person, please.
20:17. Lege alte Jesus me mu haptu. Upo gar anabebica proston pater mu poreu de prostus adelphus mu cae epet autois anabino proston pater mu cae patera humon cae theon mu cae theon humon.
Jesus says to her, do not touch me.
And what is the force of the me haptu? Haptu is what tense there is.
It's the imperative.
The imperative mood, right? And what tense would that be? Haptu from haptu.
Present tense, isn't it?
It's present. From haptu, right? What is the force of the present?
Well, she must be
in the present middle, see? Pardon me? She must be in the
middle.
So stop there. Stop touching it. So she must have been handling, touching, you know, feeling, right? There was sense. All right, go ahead, Ruth. Pardon the interruption on that.
For I have not yet gone up towards my Father, but proceed towards my brothers and say to them, I go up towards my Father and your Father and my God and your God.
All right, 17. Haptu, we said, was present middle imperative. Hapto, verb hapto, and the middle. Stop touching for yourself or by yourself. Anabebika is what we're. Anabebika.
Perfect
of anabino, right? The reduplication. Poreu is what we're.
Imperative.
All right, imperative present tense. Poreu am I. is what?
Present
from our mind, right. All right, so don't hold me, don't detain me, and this is the basis on which many have felt that there were two ascensions. One, at this point, shortly after the resurrection, to put the blood upon the mercy seat of the heavenly sanctuary, as it says in the book of Hebrews, and the second, after the resurrection, 40 days after the resurrection, he ascended finally, you see. So this is the basis, right? Touch me not. Why would he say, don't touch me? He has risen. I am ascending almost now, you see. Right now, I am about to ascend. It could be the futuristic and yet close present use of there.
What do you think?
I think that's correct. I feel that. Dr. Schaefer taught that in his theology, his 8-volume theology. And,
where's that in Hebrews?
Hebrews, what are you talking about there? Hebrews chapter 9. I wish I had my regular Bible here. The earthly sanctuary was purified with the blood of bulls and goats. It was necessary that the heavenly sanctuary be purified by better things. If the blood of bulls and goats, I think it's Hebrews 9 or Hebrews 10, Hebrews 11, finding, could take care of the things of sanctifying the flesh, how much more the blood of Christ, who by the eternal Spirit offered himself without sin to God, purge your conscience, serve the living through God. All right, read that. What does it say for us? It's 9 what?
9:12-14, what you're saying.
Is anything at all like that?
Yeah.
Well, by his own blood, he entered. That's it. Verse 12 is what I'm getting at. Neither by the blood of bulls. See, what is that sense of that bias? It's dehematos, by means of, through the blood of goats and calves, but by, there again, dia de tu idu hematos, by or through. Now, if it's literally by, then you take the blood and offer and put it there as an emblem of the sanctification and the applying of the blood in the heavenly sanctuary, just like the high priest once a year, the Day of Atonement, in Leviticus 16, would take the literal blood and apply it on the mercy seat of the tabernacle on earth. You see, it's an analogy, analogous, not by the blood of those who go, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the sprinkling of the heifer sanctify the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works? So, you see, that's the school. I hold to that it was, at this point, he ascended immediately. It doesn't take long. The speed of talking about the speed of light, this was far, far faster than the speed of light, instantaneous, and then reappeared to the different disciples. And in Luke, he says, handle me. Here he says, don't handle me. He says, stop handling me. Stop touching me. Yet he said, handle me, a spirit hath not flesh and blood to see me have. So you see, there must be some reason why, and this is the explanation that...
what was the reason that she was to stop handling him?
Because I ascend to my father and your father.
She couldn't keep him from God.
Well, that's what he didn't want her to. No, now is not the time for you to touch me, you see, because I am going to... See, apparently it was immediately after his, or shortly after his resurrection, it was who knows how long after, but he, at this point, was not wanting to be detained. He did appear to her, however, before this event took place, and she was the only one that had seen him first because she went there first. I guess that's I think that's the order. I'm not sure. My Spoken Bible gives the order of events. If I'm not mistaken, Mary was the first to see. So this was the detaining. Don't detain me, but later on. Now, John Walbert, Dr. Walbert, who's the present president of Dallas, disagrees with Schaefer on that. Dr. Emery Hahn, teacher of the radio Bible class, believes as this, Larkin does, Ironside does, and a lot of different little Bible believes that the two ascensions, the main ascension was the ascension that the disciples saw on the Mount of Olives, was it? In Acts 1, I think it was Mount Olives, wasn't it? Yes, he left from there, he's going to come back, the same Jesus was so come and lay man, Mount of Olives. But this apparently, see,
you want to take care of the immediate.
Just in other words, to offer now, of course, with Bob Thiem, he doesn't even believe the Lord shed any blood on the cross. He doesn't even believe blood is necessary. He doesn't believe the death of Christ is necessary, a physical death, which is a heresy, of course. But he wouldn't agree with this in that school. But just as an emblematic symbol of the sacrifice is finished and immediately taking care of that after having put away sin for the sacrifice. So I see nothing wrong with that. I don't think any miss on it. It is somewhat different than the general run of things, but I think it's logical.
I thought something else, Doctor, that Jesus did not permit her to touch him because his body is should remain holy, untouched by the sinful man, as he is ascending to the Father.
That's right. If he were about to ascend right at that time, you mean, that's right.
Yeah.
That's correct. And now, the word there, we're in 15 or 16, anabino, see, anabino. Now, anabino is the present tense, obviously, from anabino. And if we look at the present tense and the meaning of different tenses there in our Thane and Manny, on page 191, 187, 185, present tense, regular use is 182, the progressive present, the customary present, the iterative present, 184, then the special uses, the aoristic present, the futuristic present, now that's it, or the historical present, or the tendential present. Now, a tendential present in 186 at the top, the fourth use. If this is a tendential present, for what works of these do you have a tendency, are you inclined to stone me, see? Anabino, I have a tendency to go, I am leaning to go to my Father, don't touch me. He's on his way, see? Mm-hmm. There's no other way that I can see how the meaning of that, because if he wasn't going for 40 more days, why the rush? Mm-hmm. Why did he say? There must be some reason. And that's why I feel that, and just believing it simply as it seems to be stated in the Scripture, I just believe that's what happened, see? So, all right, and I think it fits in with Hebrews. I think there's nothing wrong with it, nothing sacrilegious about it. I think it was an essential part of his finished work. Because as Hebrews develops, as you know, the earthly tabernacle, and then there's the heavenly tabernacle. And the earthly door and the heavenly door, see? And the earthly blood and the heavenly blood. There's all different contexts. The earthly priest and the heavenly priest, Christ, our high priest now in the presence of God, see? And the tabernacle, you know, that's the analogy. And so why not complete the analogy every way, you see? All right, next is the bill.
John 20:18. Erkatai Maria, he Magdalene, ap angelusa tois matetais, hoti keorake, ton kurion, kai tauta, epen aute.
All right.
Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples that she saw the Lord.
Helica would be I saw, isn't it?
Oh, okay. I saw the Lord.
I think so.
And
well, let me see here. Maybe I'm wrong.
Third person.
Third, yeah, that's right. That she has seen. Okay, that's right.
Seen the Lord and said, and probably he said these things to her.
You see, there's the different text on it. That's the trouble on that thing. There's the Herodaka, and this is Herodaka. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, what are you saying, Bill?
She said these things, or he said these things to her. They said these things.
Let's see, this is very Magdalene, seeing the disciples, that she has seen the Lord, and these things, she said to her. I guess it would be he said to her. That he said to her, he told her these things. That means the Lord, Jesus, told her these things, right? Told to her these things. All right, we've got to get our accusatives and our locatives straightened up. All right, Archetype present of Archimai. Angelusa is the present active participle feminine of angelo. In other words, she announcing or telling the different things. And then Heoraka. This is, we have Horake, as a textual. Horake would be perfect first person singular, I, but you see, Horake, we have the she from Horaho, and the Apen. What's the translation of King James? Is it she said that she had seen?
Came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord,
yeah, right.
That he had spoken these things
to her. Okay, she had seen, that's correct. Okay, Ruth, take the next one, please.
John 20:19. Ustes un hopsias, te emera pekene, te mia ton sabaton, kai ton tyron, tetres menon, hopu esan hoi matetai, suneg menoi, dia ton phobon, ton judaion, eoten hoiesus, kai este esto meson, kai lege autois, erene humi.
Nice long one, Ruth. You shine with these long ones.
And being evening of this.
That would be a what? What phenomenon? Those three words. Ustes un opsia.
Well, Ustes is quite
a phenomenon. Yes, so what do you call that phenomenon? It's in what case?
Is that
a genitive? Mm-hmm. So that would be genitive action. See the participle with the noun in the genitive case. They were just syntactically set apart from the rest of the sentence. Just it having been the time of day, whatever. Fine, go ahead. Pardon me.
Of that day of the first of the Sabbath, and the door having been closed where the disciples gathered, because of fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace to you.
Okay. 19. Ustes present feminine participle of Amy. And tekles menon would be what? Tekles menon.
That's a perfect passive.
Mm-hmm. Or kleo, tekles menon, having cried, is that it? Let me see.
Closed.
Oh boy, the tekles menon. You have to close, all right. Kleo. Well, that's similar to choir, isn't it? It's a different word, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Choir, to close and choir, yeah, excellent. Yeah, all right. That's what I was thinking. All right, having been closed, eson, imperfect of ame, eofen, of course, heirs to recommend este, heirs of histeme. So, the doors were closed and he appeared, said, peace be to you.
They were closed. Why is that in the sentence, Dr. Wade? And of the door having been closed by the
Sabbath. Let's see, where is that now? That's
the first part of 19. The first of the Sabbath and the door having been closed by the Sabbath.
All right, that's another kind of action. Let's see. Now, just like Ustes un opsias, this having been evening, is that what the opsias are, evening? And the doors, you see, having been closed, it's a participle plus the noun of the genitive case. See, it's the same gender after, syntactically set apart from the rest of the sentence. No syntax and then no beginning, no ending, just right in the middle. And the doors having been closed, and since the doors were closed, and the doors were closed, anything you want to say, translate.
Okay.
All right, anything else on this? All right, John 20, please.
John 20:20. Cae tuto epon, edixen autois, tas hiras. Caetin pleran autu, echaresan un hoimatetai, edontes ton curion.
Alright.
And showing.
Having said.
I mean, I was going to say thing.
From Lagos.
And having said.
Tuto.
This.
Amen. Great, how are you?
I'm going to take a picture.
Oh, great.
I
work on
the
file for
the
business course. Go ahead, Bill.
And having said this, what's
that? Eddie sent from Baco. He showed, take to me, I guess it is.
He showed them the hands and
his,
let's play around.
Side. From pleurisy, you know, for pleurisy, that's the side of the person.
Then the disciples
Echaresan, is that where we are?
Yes.
We're happy, rejoiced. Echaro.
Rejoiced.
We're glad.
Seeing the Lord?
Seeing the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's 20, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, the phone is the aorist of Lego, Edixen rather, is the aorist of Dicnumi, to show, Echarisan, the aorist passive of Chairo, to rejoice, the Lord, we're glad, to be glad. to rejoice. Yedontes is the heiress of a parsifal of Horao. So having seen him, they were like, okay, Ruth, 20, they were 21, right? They rejoiced when they saw the Lord. That's what we ought to do. We rejoice to see his hands and his sides. See, he showed him his hands and sides. See, the same body that was crucified, it was different in internal makeup because of the blood versus the bones, etc. But still, it was that body. See? And that's he became man. He never ceases to be man. He's the God-man. And that's the marvelous thing about the incarnation. Once he took upon himself a human body, he never divests himself of that human body again for all eternity. He will be in eternity the man, Christ Jesus. That's why it says in 1 Timothy 2:5, I believe it is, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He's up in heaven as the man, Christ Jesus. So he's still in a body that we can recognize as a body with hands and everything like we have, see. And to have this thing explained away as if it's not really substantial substance, see, as far as corporeal.
With the pierced side?
Yes, with the pierced side and so on. See, it's a corporeal nature. Now, the nature of the corpus, the body, may be different. Just like the nature of the body of an animal is different from the body of a man. The body send forth a messenger, an agent, a messenger, a command. See, it's ascending where that's the basic word there. The stello part, let me see if we get the plain verb stello. I can't say that I can put my finger on the fine distinction, Ruth, on the difference.
Well, Prince's book would be handy, right?
Prince's book, if you want to get that, Bill, you can. Maybe he would have a picture there for us. You find it? Stello now is to place, to set, order, to arrange, to equip, to dispatch, to stow, to contract oneself, to shrink, to withdraw from. An apostello, to set in order away. That gets farther. But the pempo, let's see. Apostello, it's a mission that the Lord had, but pempo is what our mission is. See, that's what we do in our sent pempo. Does he have anything in the very back as an index?
Oh, okay, that's right.
An index, I believe you have. Pempo, the word here in page 315 is to send, to dispatch on any message, embassy, or business, to transmit, to dismiss.
Sounds like the same thing.
Similar, yeah. The
thrusting. But why would he have gone to the trouble of using?
Yes, there are separate words, and they have separate meanings. I'm sure separate shades.
He doesn't have
any in there, does he? No, it's not in their pencil or apostello either way. Apostello, see what that would be. Like so many books, it's just the words you want that you don't have. You just have a certain number, that's right. Mm-hmm. You have them all. Mm-hmm. Archbishop Trench, Anglican. All right, so I'm afraid I can't, we could research that more, and of course I'm sure that word book over there would give us more detail. But I don't know the answer to that, but they're distinct there, and in the study of that would be a great sermon and truth, I'm sure, that would develop. Oh, yes, I'm sure there would be. So, any other comments or questions?
Yes, Doctor, I was thinking about when the disciples, they came to the tomb, they saw that Jesus was dead, not there. They went their own way. But Mary Magdalene, she remained there.
That's right. She stayed right there. That's right. She
stayed there, and she was used by the Lord to go to tell to them and to Simon Peter.
That's right.
Is the reason.
Mm-hmm.
She saw the Lord.
Right.
That was great.
Right.
And I say the greatest honor that he did not appear to the disciples or to his mother or his brother, but that's to Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, very tender parent, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, next verse, please.
20:22.
22.
Kai tutos epon, en ephusis kai lege autois, labete pneuma hagione.
All right.
22. Mm-hmm. Okay. And saying these things, verse to see, and saying,
having said this,
that's from
M. Fusao. M. Fusao, that's the heiress to breathe on, to breathe in, breathe on, I guess. Okay. M.
He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit.
All right, this is M. Fusisen, the heiress of M. Fusao, Labata, the heiress of Lambano. All right, receive the Holy Spirit. This was a different beginning of a different dispensation, and he didn't necessarily have the day of Pentecost here with the disciples, but it was a foreshadowing of a change from the Old Testament dispensation it was sort of a transitional situation, received the Holy Spirit, and later on all of the saints received the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost as far as the normal thing. Now when we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit. But this was apparently for power, it was receiving him for witness and various other things like that. But many have pondered this theologically as to, was this the same as the descent and the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Well, no, it wasn't the same, but it was on that order for power, and it almost gave the Old Testament saints, who they still run in the Old Testament, really in a sense, well, of course it was after the resurrection, it's sort of a transitional period, but if you say the church started at the day of Pentecost, you see, then this was 40 days before that, therefore they're still in the Old Testament era and dispensation. And this was almost giving them what the New Testament dispensation had normally as a matter of course, by special design, by special miracle, receive the Holy Spirit. Now we have the Holy Spirit always, and he's always with us. As the Lord said, he is with you, he shall be in you. That was in the Gospel of John that we've read.
Do you feel that he remained with them until the day of Pentecost, or do you think probably he came and went like with Samson?
Well, I think maybe until the day of Pentecost, and then they had the promise. It doesn't say, but I think it's the power of the Holy Spirit that probably abided, abode, and continued on with them. Although you wonder when Peter denied him, or not denied him, went fishing later on. Yeah, didn't deny him, went fishing. But still, he was responsible. We can go fishing today. Sure. So anyhow, I think that was a sort of a permanentizing, if you can say permanentizing. Permanentization, if you want to even say that. So I would think, Ruth, that probably that would be in a permanent situation, like became permanent, more permanent than ever to everyone 40 days later. See, that's in the sense of receiving the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next verse.
John 20:23. Antonon apheta tas amartias afiantai autois antonon kratete ke kratentai. John 20.
All right.
Of whomever you should forgive sin, they are forgiven to him. Of whom you should retain, they are retained.
All right.
That's very difficult.
Yes, that seems to be the Roman Catholic doctrine of absolution and the forgiveness of sin.
The Greek Orthodox too, that Jesus will forgive the sins,
yeah,
are forgiven.
The
and when he
tenses,
doesn't forgive...
The tenses of these, I think, is interesting. Afeta, heirist of Afiemi, if they have been forgiven, Aeontai, perfect passive of Afiemi, perfect passive, they have been forgiven, and Kratete, that's perfect passive. Af elentai. You have got different text here again. Af ientai. All right. Well, there's a different text. Af ientai would be the present. Looks like present. All right. Instead of having, af ientai would be the active or the passive.
Passive.
Present passive. Okay. Af ientai. If they are being forgiven. Let's see, where were we here? Verse 23. You forgave, they are being forgiven, in other words. And then the next one, whoever you kratate, which would be the kratate, rather, which would be your present active subjunctive, they might be held or grasped or controlled. Kekratintai is the perfect passive participle. Do we have the same text? Kekratintai, you have the same. That is perfect passive participle. Yeah. They have been already retained.
It's possible that the other one should have been.
Yes, and that's why there's a textual difference in there, I suppose, and so on. Pardon me?
That is in many languages too.
Yes.
You will have, will remain whole.
Mm-hmm. I suppose the sins, if they are forgiven, they're being forgiven. If you hold them, they're held. Certainly, obviously, people can't have the power to forgive sins, but apparently there was a difference in the apostolic powers and our powers. Certainly, they had powers that we do not have. They had powers to heal. They had powers to raise the dead. In fact, in Mark 16, the last 12 verses of Mark, take serpents and drink any deadly thing, various things, heal the sick, and this could be a power that was given to the apostles, and I don't think we should shy away from it.
That they have. Jesus said your sins are forgiven you, gave them that power?
Your sins are forgiven you, like to the fullness of, but God only. I don't think it would be the forgiveness, but if whoever you forgive, they are forgiven. The ones that you've determined that have been properly confessed and gotten right, they are forgiven. Mm-hmm. And those you retain, you can see by discerning that this is not a real repentance or a real deal that is honest before God. They are retained. In other words, they're not forgiven, apparently. They
would be tied in with salvation, in other words.
They have that discernment, possibly, as apostles, disciples, you see, that... But I don't think this is a thing that's passed down, apostolic succession, any more than apostolic miracles or speaking in tongues, you see. But I think that they could have had, during that intertestamental period, 40-day period, the power of discernment to see that, Paul could look at that man's deceit in the book of Acts. You child of the devil, you want to pay money to get something to treat like a freak show and get the Holy Spirit, so... He discerned the fact in his soul that this man was fake, although he claimed to be one of the disciples, yet he wanted to, Simon, I think it was there, Simon the sorcerer, wanted to buy the gift of God with money. See, that's what we call Simony today, giving money for the whole thing. So maybe this was a sense.
Or maybe even...
Yes, they knew that. You liars, you see. They knew that God had given them that discernment. Now, I just think that the fact they're not the ones that are forgiving sins, they're the ones that recognize that's been forgiven, and it is forgiven. They determined because God has forgiven it, and then they, if you retain it, say, oh no, it is retained because they have got they know how to, you might say, call the shots in pool, or if you want to say that, which was not decent to use that, you say they know how to prophesy and predict what really is. They have that discernment that we do not have any longer. No. Although we sometimes, by the fruit, ye shall know the Lord said. So, how do you interpret that? I don't think it's absolution by the priest. I think it is close to that, although not even absolution by the apostles, because it's recognized that something God has already done.
If the priest has the power of absolution, then he wouldn't have taken my wife away.
Possibly so, that's true. All right, anything else on that?
I was just going to say... one thing that's going, wasn't there a gift of discernment?
Yes, one of the gifts. The gift of discernment.
And it's another discerning of spirits.
Discerning of spirits,
okay. I was just thinking maybe it was a possible one of the gifts, like one of the gifts
sign of gifts.
Miracle, yeah, sign gifts that maybe had passed away, but I think it's something.
He was talking to these, his disciples, his very own. Judas was not there. He had no power along that line. And apparently that's... and I think it's... integrally and indivisibly tied up with the receiving of the Holy Spirit, whereby that discernment was given. So, different from the others, and only never to be repeated nor to be passed down. See. And it's nothing that Christians today say, I'm going to do this, this is for me, like all the other apostolic powers that God, that Christ gave them. All right. Apostolo, you see, Christ was sent as an apostle. It's a missionary, but I send you, not as an apostle, not you're not little Christs, as this man, life action man, says in his teaching. We're little Christs.
That's Roman Catholic.
I guess. Not that. you know, that we have the power that Christ had, but I send you in a little different way than my Father sent me, because I am God the Son. I am different. See, I am a real official mission. I send you, though, as I have sent. The as is the same. Father sent me, I send you. But the sending is a different verb. See, the actions are different and the authority is different. See, because I have the authority because I am God the Son as well as Son of God, Son of Man, but I send you. You're not deity or anything, but as there, kathos or whatever the word for as or host, whatever it is it host or kathos? As 23. Kathos, yes, kathos. That is the one that's the similarity. As I send, yeah, I was sent. So it's from All right. Next verse then, please. Real
1:4. Thomas de his ekton dodeca, homogomenos didymos, ut ein metauton, hotte eofen ho Jesus. John 20:20.
Okay.
But Thomas, one out of the 12, the one called Didymus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the twin Didymus, two of us, the two of them,
was not with them.
What means Didymus?
Didymus, the twin.
I thought the doubter.
Yeah, but no, he was a doubter, but he's Didymus is the twin. He did.
Well, I was wrong.
Did from duo. See, I think that's the etymology. Although it's not a normal word. Right, go ahead.
Was not with them when Jesus came.
All right, that's verse 24. We'll hasten our face somewhat. Legomenos, which is the present middle part of lego, and ain is imperfect of Amy. Right, that's 24. He wasn't with her. Right, Ruth, a nice long one. That'll cast us right up into where we ought to be.
5. Elegon un auto hoi alloy matetai heurakamen ton kurion harde apen autois. And may ido entais chestin autu ton tupon ton helon kai bano ton dactylon mu eston tupon ton helon kai bano ten hera mu esten pleuran autu u me pistoso.
Just.
Okay. Then he said to them, unless I should see in his hand the place of the nails, and should cast my finger into the place of the nails, and should cast my hand into his side, I will never believe.
All right. No way, never believe. Ume, strongest negative possible, isn't it? In Greek, elegon, imperfect of lego, heorakamen, imperfect of horao. Apen, second aorist of lego. Ido is aorist of subjunctive of horao. Balo is regular aorist of balo, single lambda. Pistelso, future of pistelo. I will not in any wise believe. So he wanted to see, he wanted to touch, he wanted to feel. He was honest, he was a doubter, but through his doubts we have seen new truth because Christ did appear and showed him exactly what he requested. All right, Bill, go right ahead with 26.
On 26. Kaimeth himeras octo, tulen esan eso hoimatetai autu, kai Thomas metaton, erchetai hoiesus, ton thiron kekles menon, kai este es to meson, kai epen irene humin.
All right.
And after 8 days, again, the disciples, his disciples, came.
For were, asin, from Amy, imperfect.
Were.
Esso.
Is that without?
Exo is out, and esso is within.
Right.
Esso,
with
and exoteric.
And Thomas them. With them. Jesus came.
Literally comes, but historically came, right?
Okay.
Here's your what? What do we call this phenomenon? The genitive with the participle, genitive absolute. doors having been closed. He just, the genitive was syntactically set apart from the rest of the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Stood.
Stood.
Yeah. He stood.
And he stood in.
Or Jesus, I guess, understood up there.
Jesus stood in a. What's a meson?
Meson, in the midst.
Midst, and said.
Mezzanine floor, the middle floor.
Right, okay. And be and peace unto you.
Peace unto you. Peace to you. So that is 26. Eisan is the imperfect of Eisan Yapri, imperfect of Amy, and Erkatai, the present of Erkamara. Keklesomenon, perfect passive genitive of Cleo, to close. So the doors having been closed. Este, aorist of Histemi, to stand. He stood, aorist of Histemi. All right, he stood in the midst. The doors being closed, was it? Did he say, let me see here? Yes, the doors were closed. He stood in the midst, even though they were closed.
Locked.
And
not only closed.
Well, Cleo closed, and were they locked or?
I remember it's a Romanian Bible with locked doors.
All right.
Was they been afraid?
Cleo, the doors are to shut. You see, to shut up a person, to shut up one's bowels, to be hard-hearted, void of compassion. So on and so forth. Place is a key. So a lock could be a key of entrance. It could be involved with a lock having been closed, and it could have been locked, shut, closed. In other words, they were secure. They may have been locked. I don't know that the verb says necessarily, but it's implied. A key is something that would close so that people couldn't enter. So certainly possible. All right, next verse, please.
John 20:27. Eta lege to thoma, fere ton dactylon su, hode, kai ide tas heras mu, kai fere ten heras su, kai bale eisten geran mu, kai me ginu apistos, ala pistos, John.
All right.
Then he says to Thomas, put forth your finger here, and behold my side, and put put forth your hand, mm-hmm. and cast into my side, and do not be an unbeliever, but mm-hmm. believer.
Faithless, but believing, unbeliever, believer. That's an adjective used as a noun. Unbelieving, unbelieving one, or a believing one. Okay, so that's 27.
But that is not saying my palms.
My hands, yeah.
It's my hands.
My hands, yeah.
Because if he was named, there is.
If that was the case, then it would be the Heras. You see, we don't know Heras. I'm not sure anatomically speaking just exactly what extent that would be. Heras, let's take a look and see if it would give it. I have always taken hands to be hands, you know, rather than the wrist there. Heras. Her is a special operation of God. Heras. To leave a hair, special by agency, or a hand, yeah, hair is a hand. So a hand, you know.
Wrist to wrist and hand to hand, right?
Yes, whether the technicality was there, who knows. But I don't see anything why they would. Maybe that's what they did in other instances, but I don't see why the hands. I just don't know. They pierced his hands, his feet. What are feet? His ankles, I guess, are part of the feet. Hands seem to be attached to the wrist and the arm, you see. So I would say hands is hands, or hands. How close the nail was to being in the wrist, it has to be in the hand, it seems like to me.
It should be, because otherwise it would tear off. It would be in the palm.
Yes, unless they have him hung on as well by a rope around the waist. Some feel that's around the middle to sort of give some support. Yeah. Others feel it was a platform for the feet to give some support for the feet. But who knows? And some feel there's lashings around the wrist to sort of hold them in place also with the pain. And hanging by the wrist, the nails are there, but you're not the full weight of the nails. So, who knows? Mm. All right. Let's see, that was Ruth, wasn't it? 27 was that last remember?
28.
Pharaoh was present, imperative of Pharaoh, and Ida, the heiress of Pharaoh, behold. Keep bringing your hand over here and see. Bala is heiress once for all. Bala and Ginu is the present imperative of Ginnamai, the present middle imperative. Now, what's the force of that, Ruth? Present middle imperative of Ginnu, May Ginnu.
He must have been beginning to be an unbeliever.
He was an unbeliever. Right, stop being an unbeliever or an unbelieving one. All right, Bill, next one, please.
2028. Kai apikrithe haf bomas, kai epen ato, hokuri asmu, kai hafi asmu. John?
All right.
And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God.
All right, my Lord and my God. He was deity. He was recognized as deity. Was he not? Lord and God. Kurios and Theos. How the modernists can say he was not God and these men did not recognize him as such is beyond me. 28, Apokrithe, of course, the passive of Apokrinomai. And notice the invitation in the previous verse. He said, reach your finger, bear your finger, carry your finger, put your finger, and put it into my hands and into my side. Now, if he had no hands and no side, he couldn't have done this. Yeah, he would not have offered this unless that were possible to do, you see. And that's the very thing that the West God is trying to undo in the bodily resurrection of Christ. And never once in the whole book, the first one I read, never says bodily resurrection, never physical resurrection, never literal resurrection, nothing. Never bodily. It's always some talks about resurrection, and he talks about it many, many times as a transfiguration.
You know, in Greek language?
In English, just in English, he transfigures. He even uses in this appearances of the risen Lord, he even uses Mark 16, the last 12 verses of Mark. He says the appendix in Mark. He refers to it. And then when he quotes it, actually in the Greek, and then he translates it in English, he's very sly. He doesn't say, I deny this and so on. He just simply puts in brackets the word Markos. When you refer to Mark, he puts that in brackets in the Greek. In the English, I think he just says Mark's on, but he puts it in brackets. Now, anybody that knows textual criticism, what he means is he doesn't think it was really Mark, but he, for the
He quotes.
See, in the book on the appearances of the risen Lord, he tries to get every appearance in the New Testament where he appeared to people. And then he explains it away that this is how, this is why. And Mark was one of those places. So he quotes
and
Mark.
Mark says that the original is not that.
That's right. But he puts it in the Greek on the one margin and the English the other. You know, he uses the Greek first and the English, and then he explains it. But I think he's going to explain it away from his introduction. All right, go ahead. Where were we there? Next verse.
29. Legi auto ho Jesus. Hote heola kasme toma pepistelkas. Makarioi hoi me ilontes kai pistelsantes. John.
All right.
Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, Thomas, you have believed. Blessed are the ones not having seen yet having believed.
Having believed, that's right. Herodakos is the perfect of Horao, Pepistokos is the perfect of Pistero, Idontes is the heiress of Horao, and Pistosantes is the heiress participle of Pistero. So having believed, having seen yet, having believed. So better to have faith than sight, but you have seen and therefore you believe. It's a good verse there, isn't it? All right, Bill, 30.
20 and verse 30. kolat men un kai ala semea et poesen ho Jesus en opion ton mateton autu ha uk esti gegramena en to biblio tuto.
Okay.
And then many
see here the beautiful man in death. Tuta men in the verse 31, tauta death. See? There's a pure perfect on the one hand, on the other hand. On one end, Bill, men see. Therefore, many things, therefore, on the one hand.
Many things.
Allah, other things, I should say.
Other things.
Should say other
sorry.
We got him in the
sorry. Jesus did. What's
in opium, in the sight of, in the presence of, in the in
presence of his disciples.
Ops for optimite in the sight of, see, it's eyes. That's a good Hebrewism. That's what they say in Hebrew, the same thing in the sight of, in the face of. Panim, you see, in the face, the same expression, similar.
Which are not written in this book.
Okay, poison is the heirs to Poyaro and Gegramena is perfect as far as the book Grafo, having been written in this book. All right, Ruth, finally, and then we're close here, even though we go to 21:3, we only have 25 verses for next week, and we normally do 30, so we're ahead of the procedure. Ruth, go right ahead with 31.
John 20, verse 31. Talk to the Gegraptai, Hina, the Delsete, Hoti, Ho Jesus, Estin, Ho Christos, Ho Poyas, Kiperu. Kai hinatis delantes zoein echite ento anomati autu.
Alright.
These things have been written in order that ye
and there's the death, you see, mm-hmm. On the other hand. Alright, go ahead.
In order that ye should believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and in order that believing ye should have life in his name.
Alright, so that's the purpose of the Gospel of John, is it? Gegraptai, having perfect passive participle, having been written, is still are in existence. Pistero ete, a present stretcher of pistero, pisteroantes, present participle of pistero, and ekete, present subjunctive echo. All right, we'll continue there. Final week, last, next week. Yes.
One question.
Go ahead.
In verse 30 there, mm-hmm. It says, many other signs that Jesus, truly did Jesus in the presence of Christ, which mm-hmm. are not written in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Now this book he's talking about
the letter of John, right?
But another gospel says because it would be written, the books were not would
contain. Yeah, that's in Gospel of John right here. Even this book here, many other things through the dead, which were written in this book, the world could not contain.
The world
that's in John right here. Yeah, right here, the last verse of this gospel.
Because it says for book, it's got biblio. That's where we get our. I'm sure
Bible. That's right.
This Bible. So, some you know, are not written in the Bible.
Just like in the Revelation, this book, you see, Revelation, but many feel it's the book of the Bible. Just as Revelation undoubtedly was the final book written, you see. So, that was the end of it, 90 AD. 1 John, 90 AD, but probably Revelation, the last book. And there whoso added to this book of this prophecy. So that's could be on, I believe, also.
In
the
book.
It could be, I think it's referring to the book of Revelation, but since it was the last book, it could refer to the whole canon, you see, of the Bible.
Since
chronologically it was last.
But that time was only a scroll.
Yes.
But the name of the scroll.
Well, now let's go on to. We'll finish up there next week, except for the final, and that'll be the following week. Dan and Maddie, we'll take our assignment in that this evening, and then we'll be dismissed. Page 285, we start tonight, and we conclude on 293. All right, we'll.
I learned two things tonight.
Yes. We take the result. The result clauses. Result. Give me an example of result clause in English, anybody.
I said, these are written that you might believe.
All right. That's the result or possibly purpose. Mm-hmm. It's very close. They're both final clauses in the sense that it's something that's at the end of something else. Excuse me, one is called a semifinal, the other called an ultimate final, I guess. These things are written with the result that you might believe. You could interpret that as a result clause. Or these are written for the purpose that you might believe. If I write something with the purpose that you might believe, and it results in your believing, then it is a result clause, and they're now final. He said, one is a semifinal, the other is a final. The semifinal is the purpose for which I do something. The final is, what does it do? What effect does it have on you? So,
but I come to class so that I might learn.
So that I, with the result that I learn, or for the purpose of it. See, that's, sorry, see, that's the point. I would hope that you teach with the result that your pupils learn.
Mm-hmm.
Your purpose is to teach so that they do learn, but you hope that the final result will be that they learn also. And that's why telling is not teaching. Listening is not learning. Impression without expression leads to depression. These are some of the trite truisms. This is true. All right. The definition of result clause, we say there is a purpose clause. It's similar. It's determined whether a clause is transcendent result or purpose. Somewhat difficult. But the construction result clauses, two different ways, by far the most common, hosteth with the infinitive. 1 Corinthians 13:2, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, hosteth, ore or hore, methistane, infinitive plus hosta, with the result that I might remove mountains, you see. And then by the simple infinitive is another way, Romans 15:9, so that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, simple infinitive there, so that, you see, ta, deathnaper, doxase, so that to glorify, in other words, God by his mercy. With the result, just the simple infinitive. The third way, rarely by the infinitive with two, which is the article and the genitives. For Romans 7:3, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress. She is free from the law, not being a two me ani. With the result that she is not an adulteress, she two me ani, to be, not to be an adulteress. That could be also a purpose. There's three more ways. The fourth way is aistoth. Page 286 in the Amati, Romans 1:20, so that they are without excuse. Aistaini, with the result that it is, you see, with the result of being, they are without excuse. That's the final result clause. And then also the rare use of the indicative with hoti and hosteth. They're rare. John 7:35, where is this man about to go so that we will not find him? Hoti uch. See, this is the hoti plus the indicative. That's rare, but with the result that, so that we will not find it. And John 3:16 is hoti, with the result that, so that, God so loved the world, so that he gave his only begotten son, hosta ton huion, that he gave, with the result that he gave. There's your hosta with the indicative, hedokin. And so that's the result clause. He loved so much that he gave. The result of his love was that he gave. And then the subjunctive with hinna is also, grammarians have been reluctant to admit this, but in Romans 11:11, I say then, did they stumble so that they fell? Hinna pesosin, subjunctive with the hinna, with the result that they fell. So this is basically the result clauses. Sometimes you have them. If you see hosta or hinna or some of these other structures or infinitives or particular bit of aistoth, it may be result. Any questions on result before moving then to conditional clause? Are these conditional clauses we've used and referred to throughout the 2 years that we've been teaching, but here we finally arrive at them as such. It's a statement of a supposition, page 286 at the bottom, the fulfillment of which is assumed to secure the realization of a potential fact expressed in a companion clause. So that's a very roundabout way of phrasing things, but that is true. The clause containing the supposition is called the protasis, that's the if clause, protasis. The clause containing the statement based on the supposition is called the apotasis. Apo is from and tosis to give. And the protasis is before tosis, I guess, going or being arranged before, from toxis, like toxics, I guess, from a tactic in the tasso to arrange beforehand the hypothesis given after or from. So these are conjectural causes from always with a reference to reality, and there's four that we've talked about, but the basic two that are mentioned here on page 287, supposition from the viewpoint of reality, the process of a condition may present one fact as conditioning another. This could be a simple condition. In another form of this, you could have a contrary to fact condition, but still you have reality, therefore you have the indicative use, then you have A, epsilon iota. But the second thing is supposition from the viewpoint of probability. The process may imply that the fact suggested as a condition this is a probability. Sometimes he says it is implied that there's considerable probability of its fulfillment. This we will call a more probable future condition. Great possibility there. Again, the process may contain a special indication showing that it's a merely a possibility. We call that the less probable future condition. So there are four classes of conditional sentences, and these are. And now, notice in the bottom of page 287, paragraph 272, the basis of the four kinds of conditional sentences can be conveniently grouped into two types. First, there are the two that have the indicative mood, which assume that the premise is either true or untrue. Now that's, they assume that it's true or untrue, indicative mood. The speaker takes for granted that what he assumes is true, as in the simple condition. In other words, A, with the condition, with the indicative. If, for the sake of argument, Christ be risen from the dead, then how say you see if, and he assumes it to be true, for the sake of argument. It may or may not be true, but his assumption is, in his thinking, that it is true. The speaker takes for granted that what he assumes is true, as in the simple condition, or that it is known not to be true, as in the case in the contrary to fact condition. For instance, if you say, if indeed we are not angels, then we don't have the powers of angels. Now that's a contrary to fact condition, right? If indeed we are not angels, and we're assuming that we're not, we know that we're not, see, then we don't have the power of angels. That would be an example of a contrary to fact. Isn't that right? So that's a condition that is, you know, that's not the case. First class condition, you know that you're assuming that it is true, the premise, the process. In the contrary to fact condition, you're assuming that the premise is not true. All right. Then second, top of page 288, the other two conditional sentences composing the second type do not have the indicative mood, rather the subjunctive and optative, which are used to express varying degrees of uncertainty or doubt. And the optative is just about vanished. We see just a few of them, but the subjunctive in condition is very common. So these are the different types of things. Let's plunge into the construction now, over to page 289. The negative, of course, 274, paragraph 274, the oo is usually with the indicative, and of course the may, generally with the weaker negative, with the subjunctive. Now the construction is page 289. First, the simple condition has A in the process, with any tense in the indicative, usually in the hypothesis. And any mood or tense may occur, no fixed form, the hypothesis, Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. A de namati agesta. Indicative agesta, to be to lead. If you are led, if you are led in the A, it assumes that the fact is true. If you're led, and he assumes that you are led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law. Second class condition, the contrary to fact condition, premise is assumed to be contrary to fact. It assumes that. Only the past tense of the indicative are used. A is in the process and on usually in the process. Exceptions are few exceptions. Now, they have two classes of the contrary to fact, one in the present time, one in the past time. If it's present time, you have usually the imperfect tense in both the process and the process. For instance, they give the illustration Luke 7:39. If this man were a prophet, he really is not. I mean, they don't assume that he really is. That's the point I want you to make a very clear note of. The A, whether it's first class or second class, does not get into the facts and the reality thing. It's what is assumed by the speaker to be true. A assumes that the fact is correct. Whether it is or not, that's not the issue. But for the sake of argument, assume that that is true. That's what A with the indicative does. That's first class. And so the second class, contrary to fact condition, assumes that it is not true. That doesn't mean it isn't true. Because here, if this man were a prophet, contrary to fact, assumes that he's not a prophet, wasn't he or wasn't he a prophet? He was a prophet, see. But in the minds of these unbelievers, you see, they are assuming this to be a falsehood. If this man were a prophet, and there you have an aim in the imperfect, and then he would know, you have on the process, and then you have, you would know eginos in on. He would know, he would have known what sort of a woman this is. So contrary to fact, it just assumes, for the sake of argument, that it's not true. But contrary to fact, in the past time, page 290 of Indian Matty, the aorist or pluperfect tense in both Protestants and Apostles, for instance, John 11:32, if you had been here, that's the pluperfect, actually imperfect, isn't it? A little bit different. On apethanen. Usually it has that, but sometimes it would not have died. It's on apethanen, which is the aorist, and the other is the imperfect. So it really doesn't use it. But the other examples, I guess, use the aorist or pluperfect. But this is simply the aorist, and the ace would be the simple imperfect, wouldn't it? But that is the contrary effect. If you've been here, you weren't, but if you were, my brother wouldn't have died. And then the third class, third and fourth are, of course, from the standpoint of unreality, more probable future condition of things that possibly will take place. You have eon in the Protestants, and almost any form of the verb in the Apostles, usually thought to do with the future. For instance, Hebrews 6:3, and this we will do if God permit. Eon epitrephe hotheos. If he permits, if he allows it, if God allows it, we will do it. Now, if he allows it, and he probably will allow it, we will go on and talk more about Melchizedek, whatever I think the context is talking about Melchizedek and the details of the tabernacle. So this will, if God permit, and I think that he will permit. That's the more probable. See, there are two words in English. One is possibility, the other is probability. What's the difference? Probability and possibility.
Probability
more likely.
Probability.
One is possible.
And possibility is not right. That's right. This is exactly the distinction between third class and fourth class. More probable future, less probable. You could say probable in third class, just simply possible in the fourth. It could happen, but it's possible only. Third class, it could happen, but it's probably true that it will happen. So we think probable and possible. Will you go out to dinner tomorrow night with your husband or wife or by yourself? If you say, I probably will.
I'm not sure.
If you say, I possibly will. Now, which are you more sure? I probably will or I possibly will? Probably is more sure. It's that same way here. Third class is probable, more sure, and fourth class is possible, less probable future condition. That has A with the optative in the particip, on with the optative in the apostasis. 1 Peter 3:14, even if ye should suffer for righteousness sake, happy are ye. It's a kai paschoite. The oi indicates the optative in the Greek. And then machaira and so on. Even if you should suffer for righteousness, happy are ye. So this is the third or fourth class, less probable, very, if you should suffer for righteousness, and you probably aren't going to do it. See, that's the point. In the irregular forms of condition with mixed conditions, page 291, you see a lot of mixed conditions, or sometimes implied conditions, sometimes elliptical conditions. All right, one more clause tonight. Any other questions on the conditional? One final one, the concessive clause. In English, what is a concession? All right. And can you give us an example of concessive clause or concession? Or give me a concessive pronoun, or shall I say conjunction? That might be it.
Conjunction?
That would be concessive.
I would accept this if you
will. Yes, that's it. Almost like a conditional. See? Yeah. But the concessive is sort of like although or though. See, I like that though or although. It's although you may do this, logical concession, doubtful concession, emphatic, there's different ones. But concessive clauses, they're conditional. They're necessary natures, but they differ in that the condition the apodosis attains reality in the with the condition. The apodosis attains reality by reason of the apodosis. While in the concessive clauses, realization is secured in spite of the apodosis. And don't have to worry about the if. They're like a conditional clause, very similar. And Robertson goes into that in fine print. Off of page 292, we classify these in three different ways. Logical concession, that's where the concession is assumed to be a fact. It's a chi followed by the indicative. A chi. 2 Corinthians 7:8, though I grieved you by my letter, I do not regret. A chi, elupesa. And that's a chi with the indicative, and it's logical concession. Though I grieved you, though logically I grieved you, and that's true. See, though, it's concession. I concede that. See. Second is doubtful concession. This is proposing the concession as a possibility, only a possibility. It's introduced by eon chi, followed by the subjunctive. And even though a man be overtaken in a fault, restore such a man. Galatians 6:1, even though eon chi, prolemphae. Even if a man, though a man, see, it's eon, all right, but it's a concession that's doubtful. If a man might be overtaken in a fault. Then the emphatic concession, the third instance of it, it expresses concession with the added thought that the supposed assumption has no likelihood of fulfillment. Emphatic concession, such clause is introduced with chi eon, with the subjunctive, or chi a, with the indicative. John 8:16, but if I should judge, my judgment is true. Chi eon clino de ego ecclesis eme alethine est. Emphatic concession, if I should judge, and really there's no likelihood of fulfillment, you're not going to, but if I should judge, here my judgment is sound. So, on top of 293, concession may also be expressed for use of participle. Five times chi per is used to express concession. Although he was a son, Hebrews 5:8. Chi per, own, yes. Although he was a son. So concession usually is although or though or even if. It's something like that. We give concessive clause. So watch those and watch for those as you go through the Greek New Testament. Any comments or questions further on?
Quick question on the if clauses.
Sure.
Do all, every time if then you have a clause, can they all the time be fit into one of these four classes? Or
unless two other things are true, Bill, unless they happen to be an aeon clause, which is a concessive clause, though, see, one of these aeon chi, which would be not exactly the same as, or if it happens to be in a catch-all mixed condition, which is found on page 291, see, irregular form of condition.
Yeah.
You know, but basically you have them in one of these, but sometimes you find exceptions, don't let it throw you, count it as a mixed or implied or an elliptical condition that's just half there, and fit it in with the most possible, the closest possible of the four conditions, and then you'll pin it down. See, sometimes they aren't all there.
Which of these is it that pastors sometimes will be reading and they'll come to the word if and they'll say, well, now we can translate this since?
That's first class A with indicative. You see, in 1 Corinthians 15, you have this used by Paul, and quite often, in fact, 1 Corinthians 15. If I can locate it there. If Christ be risen from the dead, if he is not risen, we are all men most miserable, so on. Quite often, if you follow that argument along, you have to agree that it is if for the sake of argument this is true. Now, in this case, it is true. See? But in some cases where Paul uses A with the indicative, it's not true. Really, but he assumes it's true. It's just for the sake of argument. It's assumed as a given. It's like a what is it? A postulate in geometry, right? A given. It's something to do. There's a whole series of these. Do you find any of them? I'm trying to look for them.
15:12 says, if Christ be preached that he is not risen from the dead, how do we say that he is
no resurrection. Let's start. A, if Christ be preached, that he's all right. A, if indeed, and you know, it could be since in some places where it is actually factual true, but if he is preached, you see, and he is preached, that's.
And we could translate that since.
Possibly so, sure. It could be since, something like that. It technically means, if notice verse 13, if a resurrection of the dead, there is not a resurrection, then Christ has been raised. See, if there's not a resurrection of the dead. Well, you can't say since there is not a resurrection of the dead, because that's not true. See, you just have to say if for the sake of argument. See, if you once give in to the fact that you can always use since for the first class condition, A with the indicative, you're going to be into a hole.
Yeah.
And you just found it right there.
Yeah.
See? So sometimes it is true. Was it 1 Corinthians 15? Was it 12? And we ended up with 13? See, but if Christ has been raised, and he has been, verse 14, see, but if a resurrection, there isn't a resurrection. See, it's only from the standpoint of logical, rational thinking. If that premise is true, if there's no resurrection, if that is true, that's false, but I'm assuming it's true from my argument. If it's true that there's no resurrection, then Christ couldn't be raised. And that's logic, see, pure logic. So I want to be cautious, see, I know a lot of preachers do say that, I sometimes wish they hadn't said it, but in some instances, Ruth, where it is both assumed to be true and it is true, then you can translate it since, no problem. You know? But I would prefer to keep that airtight so that you're not down the wrong track, and you could get into a box. Okay, a cul-de-sac or something. No, turn around. All right, one of you please close in a word of prayer as the Lord will lead you as we close our class.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank thee and praise thee for the assurance of salvation that we know that our sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we do thank thee and praise thee for this opportunity that was given unto us these 2 years to study the Word of God, that we might be able to discern the truth by knowing this Greek language, so that we can teach and preach to others the whole truth, that the name of Jesus might be glorified, souls might be saved, and believers might be edified. Father, we do thank thee and praise thee for Dr. Wade, that he opened his house for us and spent his time to present unto us the Word of God in this language. Father, we do thank thee and praise thee that this we three, we could attend the classes as much as we could, that we might benefit of this. Now, if we are ready to go to our homes, Father, be with us, protect us, guide us, and use us for thy glory. In Jesus' name, today we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. All right, keep up the good work. One more week and we'll be finished. Lord willing.